Welcome to the RUF SCAD podcast. Martin Anton here, campus minister with RUF. And this month we're sitting down with Olivia Hazlett. Olivia, welcome.
Hello.
Thanks for being here. So first things first, we'll start with the big question. How did you end up at SCAD?
So in high school, I know I wanted to do something artistic. So I just didn't know what that was. And I would always do these little doodles in class and everything. And I remember one time a recruiter from some art school in California came by and I just showed her my work and I was like, okay, what can I do with this? I have no idea what to do with this. And she's like, oh, textiles. And I was like, okay, don't know what that is really. Like I do, but I don't. And then in photography, my teacher there, she was alumni at SCAD. And so when she saw me looking at it and everything, she's like, oh, what are you going to do? I was like, I don't know, something with textiles. She's like, oh, you should check out their fibers department. It's like, all right, what's fibers? And then that actually just, that's what got me to Savannah to take a tour and just see the fibers building and everything in it.
So not that many schools, I feel like, have strong art presences where that kind of thing even becomes possible. Was your school kind of gearing towards art a little bit? Like, what was your high school like?
I would say my high school is pretty like an average high school. I would definitely say though, like, especially my teacher, like photography teacher in high school, she was very artistic. She was a fine painter. She did photography, obviously. She did some graphic design stuff. She did murals. So she was very artistic and a lot of people liked her class because she was just really sweet and, you know, you would just go there just to do art. Mm-hmm. And then we did have other really good art teachers as well that everybody loved to have and take and, you know, do the artwork in there. So I would just say it was just really the good teachers that were there and just like what they brought to us.
Sure. Yeah. So like, was there a turning point for you when it came to being really into art? Like, do you remember a moment where it just really clicked?
I don't know if there was like a huge moment of where it clicked, maybe like a little bit my senior year of high school. That's when I was like, all right, I was taking an advanced art class. And that was funny because it was actually me and like one other person because it was a very small class. And that was literally it.
That's like tutoring at that point, basically.
Yeah. I mean, it was fun. But I remember, I think that was my first ever, I guess, commitment to like, okay, I do want to do something with art. Yeah, I would say that was probably like the moment where I was like, all right, we're doing this now.
Mm-hmm. Was textiles and fibers, like, was that always kind of your thing or did that come later?
I would say that came later. Like I said, I would always do these little doodles in high school and everything. And they're very like detail oriented and intricate and a lot of line work. And I just didn't know what to do with that because I love doing that, but I didn't know what to do with it. So until I figured out what fibers was and what we do, that's when I think I found like a love for textiles. And it made sense because everything in my closet or at home is covered with print and pattern. And right. It's I actually don't really have that many solid colors in my wardrobe, oddly enough, but I really don't. Yeah.
That makes sense then. Okay, so recruiter came, checked out SCAD. Something about it was really appealing. What for you was the thing where it was like, I could see myself here?
I would say at first it was just like, I needed to just look at schools. So I was like, all right, yeah. I'm going to go there. So I just looked at SCAD and I just liked the environment of it. And I liked Savannah a lot. I liked how there's a lot of things to do. And even though it was a city, it never felt like a city to mm-hmm. me.
That's how I describe Savannah.
Yeah. It's like a city town almost.
Yeah.
So that's what I really liked about it. And that it was just like, they had a good program there. And I think that's when I just kind of fell in love with it. And then they actually did, because I was interested in fibers, my tour guide actually took me to the fibers building. Mm-hmm. So I remember, all I could remember is when you walk in, there's like these like see-through cloth walls and yep. stuff that are really cool. And that's what I always remembered. And, you know, I applied to a few different schools, but I was just like, no, I think I'm going to end up in Savannah. And mm-hmm. like, that's what happened.
Was it a hard transition?
I wouldn't say so. I was like nervous. I was going to get super homesick, but I actually didn't, because my sister got really homesick when she went to school. But mm-hmm. then again, she went to school in Ohio in like the middle of nowhere. Right. So, but I actually like, I was like, shouldn't I feel homesick when I got here? I was just like, immediately the moment I got here, I was just doing like a whole bunch of things and meeting new people and just trying to figure stuff out. Yeah.
So what was freshman year like? I mean, up until March, I guess.
It was good. I would say I made two friends in my drawing class, which I actually still know them today. And one of them still lives in Boundary. And she's like one of those people that I literally pass no matter where I go. It's just, she's always there and I'm always there. And we always say like, hey, there you are again, you know? But I would say I had like my two friends, and I was really good friends with my roommate at the time and the whole track team, because she was on track team.
Oh, that's cool.
So yeah, that was fun. I was friends with the track team my freshman year.
That's funny. I didn't realize that.
And then I would say it was just freshman classes and everything. I remember the first day I went to my Design 100 class, and you know, our entire floor had the same class for that. And
wait, everybody from your floor was in the same class?
Mm-hmm. That's crazy. I don't know why. I don't know if they just do it that way, but yeah, it's like our entire floor in our building was just in that same design class.
I guess it kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
If it was deliberate and you're trying to get people to know each other.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, keep going.
Yeah. I just remember getting out of that class and I was like on the bus going, I forget where we're going. We're going somewhere else. And I just remember thinking, I'm like, oh my gosh, this is so much. Like, what am I going to do? And then, like, I mean, I was fine. I knew I would be. But in the moment, I was just like, there's so many things. So many things.
So what made that so overwhelming?
I think because he gave us, like, a lot of things. Like, not necessarily hard, but just a lot of things. Mm-hmm. And then I think that was only maybe it was just the first day. And I was like, and then I got more classes. Yeah. And I was like, I don't know what that work is going to be like. And I'm like, this is more serious because it's college. And, you know, granted, I had some art experience, but like not a whole lot. So I was just nervous and like overwhelmed in that standpoint.
I do think there is an added pressure too when you go to school for something really specialized. I think your expectation just becomes higher. And it's like, I've got to make sure I do it right. And then when it starts happening, it just feels so intense off the bat.
Yeah.
Because you haven't had a chance to prove yourself at all. And everybody was the art person from where they came from. And you're just all in it at the same time.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's that makes sense to me why that really does feel overwhelming for so many people. I get that. So freshman year progressed and then COVID happened. That was your freshman year, right?
Yeah.
I got the math right. Yeah. 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 So what, like, you know, everybody has this vision of sort of how you think your freshman year is going to go, and within reason, and that was not on anybody's radar as far as I can tell. What was that like having your freshman year, you know, of this thing that you have kind of moved towards just totally derailed basically overnight?
Oh, man. I don't know. It was just like, I don't know. I was kind of excited when it happened. I was like, okay, I get to go home. That's fine. Not going to lie. I was excited because like I remember people started talking about it. Like you hear like the rumor, and actually my roommate who's on the track team, her coach's wife actually was on the board for SCAD working for something. And she told them and like warned them like, hey, have a bag packed, get ready because something is going to happen. And so I remember thinking at the time there's rumors going around and, you know, we're going to, you know, close down. And there's a few of us being like, no, like, it's not going to close down. Like, nah. And then it did. And
Wait, were you at the bowling when we went bowling the night before?
No, I was in an RUF at that point.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
That's totally right.
Yeah.
My timeline's all convoluted now.
Yeah, no.
But we did the same thing. We were all bowling and we were talking about schools that had announced shutting down. And we were like, can you believe this? And then the next day was when the email went out.
It's so sad. But I mean, I was sad that it was like, okay, I gotta abruptly like just leave. But yeah, honestly, this sounds horrible. But I was kind of just excited to go home.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what I needed almost in a sense. So
we talked about that too, Elizabeth and I. Not, I mean, obviously, taking into account like just the grandiosity of the tragedy and all those kinds of things. But for us, from just a very immediate personal standpoint, it was the first time that I was ever to just like able to be home at 5 most days. And this is before Wade was born. So we'd kind of just go home and hang out on the porch and we had just more free time. You know, there were no events at that point, so it wasn't like we were prepping for Wednesday nights and stuff like that. So we were just kind of home. I kind of understand that.
That's nice, though. Yeah. Yeah, you just like do whatever.
So did it like, as you know, I when we saw that we were all going home for a little bit, none of us probably suspected it was going to be as long as it was. Mm-hmm. Did that start to change as you were home, or did you just enjoy being at home the whole time?
I would say it started to change in the fact that I just got extremely bored, especially since, you know, I was seeing my friends. I remember when I first got home, of course, like everybody was like, nobody knew what was going on. Mm-hmm. So my mom was like, if you see people, that's fine, but still stay a distance. Right. Like, we don't know what's going on. And I was like, okay. But I would say definitely over time, I would start to hang out with more friends. And then that's when my mom would get more comfortable. She's like, all right, that's fine. But I would just get increasingly more bored.
Mm-hmm.
And I would just like make random videos and like, I would be like up really late and I would just do a whole bunch of things and I'd bake and yeah. And then I would say that's the only thing that changed. I remember I jogged a lot. That was a plus.
Even as you were describing, there's not that many things you could do. You know, it's one thing to say, I'm going to spend time with friends, but there's not that many things you could actually go do. You had to be creative. Baking and jogging are good ones though.
Yeah. There's back trails at the end of my street when I still lived in New Jersey. And they actually led to the high school and stuff and the track. So I started working my endurance up of like, I would just jog a little bit and then take a break if I needed to. And then I would work my way to the high school and do a few laps there. And then I would jog back. And then eventually I was able to do it nonstop. Of course, when I got to the high school, I took a break and then I would jog and then I would take a break and then I would jog all the way back home.
I appreciate anybody that runs distance. Yeah, I hate it. I can't do it.
Really? I actually...
It's so boring to me.
Really? Mm-hmm. I like it a lot. I think I just have to get that motivation in me. And then once I have it, I'm like, okay, cool.
Maybe that's what I'm missing.
The motivation.
Yeah, maybe that's it. I can do... When it comes to workout stuff, I can do anything for 30 seconds. Like, I'll push as hard as I can for 30 seconds. But when I run, all I can think about is how I'd rather be doing anything else.
Really?
I hate it.
Man.
But I appreciate that. I wish I liked it as much as other people did. It seems nice.
It is nice, you know?
Yeah.
Gets you out of the house, your nature, and then you can have headphones or you don't have to and you can just listen.
See, that's the part I would appreciate about it is mm-hmm. just like the forced reflection and quietness.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I'll get there one day though.
Yeah.
So jogging and baking, what was your go-to thing to bake?
I would say I always love to make cinnamon rolls, like
oh, nice.
like homemade from scratch cinnamon rolls.
I didn't appreciate how much effort goes into a real homemade cinnamon roll until Elizabeth started making them.
Mm.
It's a process.
It is a process. It's actually really simple. It's just the process and it's just time consuming. Like mm-hmm. it's a really simple recipe and it's simple to do it. It's just waiting for the dough to rise for an hour.
And she would make them in large quantities too. Oh, it was like shut the kitchen down for the weekend, like it's cinnamon roll weekend.
Oh my
gosh. She would give them out as presents. That was before Wade was born.
But. Oh, that's so fun. Cinnamon roll presents.
I know. It's like It was the definitive Christmas smell was that's like so cinnamon nice. Rolls. So, man, that sounds good right now. All right, jogging and baking. So COVID progressed, and then at a certain point, were you back that fall or was it winter?
I was back that fall.
Okay. Yeah. What was it like being back with the school basically shut down? I mean, sort of open, but still basically shut down.
It was weird. So I thought like we paid our deposit and stuff for housing and everything. And I was going to room with my old roommate and one of her friends at Victory. And then that didn't work out because we thought we paid it off or we thought we had more time. I forget specifically what happened. And then, we figured out that I missed the deadline for it.
Oh man.
And then that's how I got placed at Monty.
Oh, forgot about that.
Yeah. And I remember going into it, I was like, all right, this is going to be weird. And of course, whenever like your mom or any parents, like when they first leave from dropping you off, of course, you're going to still be like mm-hmm. a little like,
sure.
Oh, man, you know, but I was like, all right, I know that's going to happen. And so it was my mom helped me move in. And then the moment that she was like, all right, you know, I'm going to get going. And then she left to go back home. And I remember I was like just there and was like, and I'm like putting up my shower curtain and it was definitely weird. And I was like, all right, well, how do I get acclimated? I've never been in Monty before. I've never been in this area. I was like, I don't have a car. And at the time too, those dining halls within Monty were closed. So I would have to walk to Victory.
And, oh man, that's rough.
It was not good. And then, you know, the buses, they would be running, but then the buses suck. I mean, they suck now. Yeah. They sucked even more then, you know? And they would I would get there. I could always get there just fine on the bus, but it was on the way back where they would just be 2 minutes away. I'm like, okay, cool. I'm ready to go. And then all of a sudden, it would say out of service or drop off only, not coming, and then just off the radar. And I was like, really? And then one time it was 8 p.m. at night.
Yeah. That's not really the place you want to be stuck at 8 at night.
No.
At least, especially if you're having to walk back.
Yeah. Yeah. So always on the phone with my mom that year, all the time. And then I just remember it just wasn't definitely not as social, obviously. Mm-hmm. And then I couldn't get, even though classes were hybrid at the time, I could never get any classes in person because, now I'm a sophomore, so I still get a kind of decent registration time, but not really. So I'd always get it online. So I would just be kind of in my room all the time unless if I left to go get food, in which I would come back because I'm no one's eating in the dining halls either. So
that seems all so long ago.
It was
which I guess that actually was around the time that RUF started to get on your radar, right? Winter quarter, right?
Yeah, winter quarter.
I'm trying to remember how you even came across RUF. I remember you showing up at Tree on Fire.
Yes. So I will start with I was on the Facebook page for kids that were in our class at the very beginning of the year before COVID happened. And I remember seeing a post because, everybody's making posts hi, I'm so-and-so, I'm from here. And so I made a post. And then there was another girl who made a post who she was also from New Jersey. And I was like, oh, cool. And then we started talking for a little bit and her name is Erica.
That's right. Yeah. I forgot about that.
Yeah. And she, we just got to talking and everything. And then, once the school year started, of course, everything dwindled down and nothing really happened with that. And I remember hearing about RUF my freshman year, but I was I don't think I need to do that right now. I just didn't feel that was the time for me. And I just remember coming back winter quarter of my sophomore year after being home and being around more people. And I just remember I'm I can't go back to this because just being alone for so long because I didn't really have any friends that came back. So it was just me on the phone with my best friend and my mom the entire quarter. So coming back, I was no, I need to find people. I need to join something. I can't stay this any longer because I originally wanted to go home and I was just going to go home for the year. But my mom's no.
Yeah. Wow.
So I just remember seeing RUF and then I saw that Erica girl goes there. And then I remember stalking the RUF page, making sure that I was okay, she does actually go here just follow them, you know? And so I'm okay, yes, she's in pictures. I see. Okay. And then that's when I messaged her and that was the night of the tree burning. And I think that's when I saw the story too, because you guys were posting story about the tree burning. And I was hey, and then I told her everything, and then she gave me her whole spiel of RUF, and then that's when she put me in contact with you, then you put me in contact with Morgan, and then that night I was just off in a random car with people, kind of just to the woods to
burn
trees.
Very trusting of you. Yes. When you put it like that, it doesn't, yeah.
Yes.
That's what's really cool about those kinds of stories. Because I remember when Erica got involved too. And I mean, this in some ways how the church and how ministry and how the Christian community works, but it's because somebody reached out to somebody else or somebody welcomed somebody else. I remember when that happened for Erica and then you turn around and she's the one welcoming people in as well. And the same could be said of you. I mean, name tags, you welcome everybody in every week. And there will be stories like that of people saying, I didn't really know what RUF was. And I've heard them and I showed up and Olivia was there and she made me feel at home. And then in 4 years, people will be telling stories about those people. And it's just really cool to get to see those kinds of things. So how did you get from a place where freshman year, not really sure if that's for me right now. You mentioned kind of the loneliness, the solitude. What made you say, okay, I think I want to go check out like a ministry specifically.
I would say so. Freshman year, I wasn't really too strong in my faith at the time. So, of course, I believed in God, but I just wasn't really in the faith. And I remember winter quarter of my freshman year was when I got back into it, because that's when I met my best friend, Amanda, you know, and she's Christian. And, you know, I just kind of like saw something in her that I was like, you know, I kind of want that. So it was freshman year, and that's when I kind of started getting back into the faith again and stuff. And then that's when COVID stuff happened. And then going into sophomore year, I want to grow in my faith and everything. But of course, fall quarter of that year was not good, not mm-hmm. fun.
Yeah.
So then that's when I was like, all right, like I just, yeah, like I said, like coming back, like I just knew I need to socialize with people. But then I was like, I don't know. It was one of those things where I was like, I would always see the RUF stories, you know, and I'd be like, yeah, there's that thing, you know, and I would just be like, but nah, no. And then I'd pass it again. And I was like, well, should I? And it was always every time I passed a story from you guys, I was always like contemplating so hard of like, do I do anything? Do I not? I don't know.
Yeah.
And so I just feel like in the moment that I decided to like text Erica was like the moment that I was like, all right, here we go. It's like, I don't know. I just felt like I had a push that it's like, no, I need to do this. Like, I just, it was one of like those nerve wracking kind of things where it's like, okay, I want to do this, but I'm scared to, but I'm going to do it anyways. And I would say that was like kind of just the transition into it and just realizing like, I just have to do it. 'Cause if I don't do it, I'm never going to do yeah. it. So.
And it is hard. I try to say this a lot to validate the real challenge of showing up to a thing like that, because the truth is you don't, I mean, you kind of knew Erica, but you didn't really know anybody. Mm-hmm. So you don't really know what this community is going to be like. And for you to display that kind of honesty and be able to say, I was struggling and I was not in a great place and I knew I needed to grow, to reach out to a group in a, like a place and a thing or an event that you don't really know much about and just show up, especially when it's something as heavy and deep as like faith, that's a really hard thing to do. And that does actually, even if it's a good thing, does take a lot of courage. So I really do admire anybody that can actually take that jump and just sort of jump in. I love that sentence that you said earlier. Just thinking about your friend Amanda and seeing what her faith in Christ did and just thinking to yourself, like, I want that.
Yeah.
That is what we try to embody. Like, that's what we think our Christian witness is, right? Like, we want people to show up and feel welcomed in RUF. And even if they don't totally understand what faith in Christ is, to be able to say, like, there's something different about these people. And maybe I don't know what it is, but I want what it is, mm-hmm. you know? And it's cool to see that play out in your life. So you showed up to RUF,
mm-hmm.
Tree on Fire, where for those who are unaware, we literally just set Christmas trees on fire and it's quite the spectacle. And then slowly started to get more involved. What was it like for you kind of coming from sort of church background, struggling in faith, showing up to RUF? Like what was your experience like?
I would say my experience after like, you know, joining RUF and everything, I think It was really good, you know. I really enjoyed being there. I enjoyed just hanging out with people, getting to know people, and again, just getting that socialization again, because that's what I needed. But also just like having like just like a good time and be able to like relax and just like know that like even when I rest, like things will be okay,
mm-hmm.
you know, work will get done. And I remember that year was probably, I would say before things got even crazier as like, you know, the school years went on, I would say that was like the year that I did like the most RUF things like ever. Mm-hmm. I would go be like at like everything. And I really enjoyed that. And I really loved going out and doing things. And of course, just exploring more about my faith and, you know, having my questions that I had. And then like kind of you answering them, not knowing I had these questions, but you would always just like answer them. I was like, I wonder about this. And then it would be like midweek and you would just be like, oh, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, ah.
What makes you think I didn't know?
Oh my gosh.
Now that's, look, that's my favorite thing to hear. And it's amazing how often that happens. And we will just attribute that to God's spirit at work. Mm-hmm. That's awesome though.
Yeah.
So like, how do you think it started to shape your faith? Definitely, you know, you mentioned just being able to be in a context where I could rest and meet people and make solid friendships. How did RUF or your experience in it start to actually shape your faith?
I would say, gotta think for a second.
I know that's a huge question.
Yeah.
And we can trim Paul's out. So
size, yeah.
Out.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you were mentioning some of like the questions and challenges that you had.
Yeah, I would say like it made my faith stronger in just the sense that I would say like definitely like accepting people for, you know, who they are. I would say appreciating what God has like given us. And even though things at that time were kind of like not the best, just kind of rejoicing in that fact, because even though that stuff happened, without that stuff, then, you know, where would anybody here be in like their faith too? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I think that it was a faith, like a good faith strengthener for like everybody at that point. I would say definitely talking to people too about faith, because I didn't really get that a lot. So I remember like some of my earliest conversations was with Joy, actually. Mm-hmm.
That makes sense.
You know, and we would just talk about like a whole bunch of things, from just like, okay, well, what does this mean in the Bible, to just like, all right, well, how do you face this in life? Or, you know, how do you, you know, approach somebody who's being like super mean? And of course you want to be super mean back, and you cannot though, because that's not right. And you should be, you know, kind of patient with that person. And how do you have that patience and kindness and love, and how can you show that to everybody? And also just remember that, like, I don't know, it's like a whole slew of things between like, you know, everything is temporary, like nothing will be like, will last eternally. You're only here temporarily. You have, you know, to love everybody, love your neighbor as you would love yourself. And just to experience that and just know more about like God's love and his greatness and what he means to us.
I really appreciate your ability to hold up the challenge and say, it's not like I wanted this to happen, but I also can see a place where God was using it. I think of what Jesus says, that it's only those who are sick that need a physician. And of mm-hmm. course, his point is that all of us are sick as it relates to sin, but only those who have some awareness that things are not right mm-hmm. are the ones who can recognize actually do need a physician. And for you in those moments where things were hard, to have some awareness of, this is not really what I want. This is not how things ought to be. Yeah. What do I do with this? And then to see the outworking of that over the next 2.5, 3 years
yeah.
really has been cool to get to see. All right. So one of the things obviously that we talk about, with the podcast, but really even more broadly just in RUF, is you guys are obviously creative people going to do creative things. And within RUF, having faith in Christ being what roots all that we do, we ask this question of how our faith and our creativity overlap. And what's interesting about fibers is it's not one of the mediums that's, you know, typically time-based or super narratively driven, where mm-hmm. you sort of are telling stories. So I'm curious how you think about the way that your faith interacts with fibers and textiles and things like that.
I would definitely say kind of just from like nature and from like a natural aspect, because I feel like within fibers, there's so many ways to, like, you're either upcycling something, or, you know, there's a lot of people who want more sustainable practices, but you're also just kind of getting inspiration from the world around you. And, you know, just the, like, the beauty of the, like, the little details in the world that, like, a lot of people would pass every day, but something that we find is really interesting and really cool, and we want to like bring that to light. So I would say just, you know, looking into like God's beauty and like what he's done and given us like in the natural world, and how we can like use that as a way to kind of like show even more people like, it's this simple thing, but have you ever thought about it in this way? Or, you know, we can abstract it, we could do what we want. And I would say that would be like the main thing, is like kind of, you know, exploring that through the beauty of nature. And because there's so many layers to things, so many different colors and so many different details. And then even like at the dye lab, like you're usually using like natural dyes. Mm-hmm. So like you're using stuff from like avocado pits you know, you can find like dyes within certain plants. And I think you can use like mint or basil or something, and or you can dye stuff using blackberries. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I would say it's in that way, it's just like, it's a lot of like focusing on the beauty that's around us and that what's been provided for us, and just kind of trying to like make that even more known to the world.
That's so interesting, because I mean, that's almost elemental when you stop and think about it in a way that is obvious, but also not obvious at the same time. Like the way that most art and storytelling happens now, a lot of digital things, which is good, and there's certainly a place for that. But what you're describing really, I think, gets back to the very root of the creation mandate. Like when you think about what's happening, God makes his creation for Adam and Eve, and he prompts them to see the beauty in it, and then he calls them to cultivate a sense of it, basically to use these materials to make things and to steward the creation. And that's what you're describing, is these very like almost at the atomic level, right? Almost as like sort of bare bones, minimal as we can get, of like just these natural raw materials. How do we cultivate a sense of beauty from these things that attests to God as creator who makes them, but also the call that he puts in front of us to cultivate and steward them into things that actually like add meaning and value into people's lives. That's really cool. Sorry. So with fibers, what are sort of the areas that you've landed on that you really get enlivened by?
So I definitely landed on print and pattern design. So designing prints for, you know, interiors specifically. You can do it for fashion as well, but I really like interiors. So like pillows and throws and, you know, curtains, carpets, that whole thing. But I mean, I have really liked as well embroidery too. There's tambour embroidery. So it's a little bit of a different setup, and you're kind of using like this like needle hook thing instead, and you can add beads to it and sequins and make it very like textural. And I've really come to enjoy that. But I would definitely say main focus is like print and pattern design for the home. And then, yeah, just other like little added elements on that I just think are fun.
So what about those things grabbed you? With all the things that you could have done, why that?
I would say, again, I always loved print and pattern. And like I said, in my closet, I really don't have a lot of solid colors, which I know it sounds weird because it's like, I am wearing solid colors today.
Well, nobody's going to know.
Yeah.
I felt really attacked when you said that. I think I only own solid colors.
Really? I always, like, if you look in my closet, there's like a print on literally every shirt that I have. So I would say, just because I would gravitate a lot towards just the print and fashion, or just the print and, you know, furniture, you know, the comforters or something. I always gravitate towards that. But like I said, I always do like those little doodles too. And like, I always enjoyed doing doodles that, you know, are kind of just motifs basically and within a print. So I just thought it was really neat to be able to like, I can create my own. What? That's really cool. So I think that's like what kind of got me towards print and pattern. And then I think I really liked tambour embroidery because I'm a very like, I don't know, I would say I'm very detail oriented. And so I like to like kind of lose myself into like some kind of practice. And that was my, like the thing that I would get away with, because I mean, print pattern is really great, but it's always all digital for the most part.
Yeah, okay.
So I liked it being something more physical that I was doing, because even when I was younger, my mom would say I'd always be doing like something weird, or like, you know, those like, I don't know, those like squish balls with like the flops of like,
yeah, right.
You know, yeah. And I would like cut off like the little like spike jelly things. And I would just like, I would play with those, and I would never play with the ball itself.
That's so funny. Why did you do that?
I don't know. I would do that, and my mom would be so mad at me. One time, I really liked like the film within tapes.
And that is so interesting.
And I would like pull out the things out of there. And she's like, Olivia, I didn't figure this out till recently when we were bringing it up. But she was like, you ruined one of our home tapes. And
oh,
I was like,
man.
Oh, no. I mean, I was younger. I didn't know. I was just like, this looks cool. Start pulling it out.
It sounds more to me like textiles and materials found you.
Yeah, that is true. That is true. But yeah, and I like being able to just take my time and just like slowly do something, because it is like a little bit of a longer process. So I just really enjoyed doing that, and it's just therapeutic in a way. And I'm like, I'm there, I'm listening to music. And
it's like jogging with materials.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
There's a trend here, I think. All right, so nearing graduation, sadly in some ways, yeah, but excited in other ways. What's on the horizon?
So I actually got recently hired for a job in Atlanta.
Hey, congrats.
Thank you. Yeah, so it's going to be for Jubeen Rugs. So they actually make antique Persian and Ushak rugs, and they outsource it mainly towards, I think, the Southeast, they said it was 70% of their market, but mm-hmm. they work a lot with interior designers and architects and stuff. And so they brought me in because they really wanted to make their own collection. And, you know, just not have like made up designs or anything. So, and they also want to just expand within, like, you know, they want more pillows and blankets, and having rugs being their main focus, but they wanted those elements as well. So they brought me in, which is really cool. So I will be off to Atlanta at some point in July, and I'll be working with them on that stuff, but also just kind of like working almost as their assistants, because they are the owners of the company.
Oh, cool.
So they also need just like extra help in mm-hmm. general. So I'd be doing like just like general help, and then also just doing print pattern. And they said I would be working with these interior designers and architects and stuff to create prints and stuff for these antique rugs.
That kind of sounds up your alley.
Yes.
Based on what you just said.
Yeah.
That's so exciting.
Yeah, so cool. I'm excited, and they said I get to like meet with some clients and stuff, and I was like, that's fun, and mm-hmm. I'm very excited for it.
We're excited for you.
Yeah.
Although sad to see you
yeah.
getting ready to leave. Okay, on that note, though, what are you hoping to do to maximize your last few weeks? Oh, man, that's sad. Last few weeks in Savannah.
See, everybody was like, oh, we only have like how many more weeks? And I'm like, don't say that. Also, it's like I don't realize, because I'm so busy with doing stuff, that it's like I'm just going. But I would say definitely just getting all my work like tidied up, photographed, everything like that. And then I would say just kind of enjoying the time that I have, and, you know, just hanging out with people and going out to all those restaurants that you say I'm gonna go to that restaurant, but then when it comes to going to a restaurant, you're like, well, where do you want to go? I don't know. And then you just go to one that you regularly go to.
All right. So what are the restaurants? We're going to make sure this happens. What are the ones on the list?
Okay. There is a restaurant called the 1540 by the DeSoto.
Yes.
It's like more of like an upper scale one, but yeah. It looks good. And I was like, I want to go there. I want to go to the Gray.
Gotta go to the Gray.
I've never been to the Gray.
It's hard to get in right now, though. But you can sit in the front kind of diner bar. It's a different menu, but at least you can see you went.
So I definitely want to go to the Gray. And then there's this other, oh my gosh, okay. There is this deli that my one classmate always tells me about, that's like right near Pepe, which is like where, you know, all my classes are. And it's called Anita's Deli. And they have like everything.
I've heard of this, but I haven't been.
Apparently, she says it's really good. And she's like, it's a mom and pop shop. And she was like, I literally go there all the time, which she does. And like, so she'll go in and they just know her, and they know her order. And
that's
they just,
the dream.
And then they have their order like ready for her. And
that's
she
the
just,
dream.
Yeah. But like, she goes there all the time, and she always wants us to go there. So I really would like to try that place out as well. And then of course there's more places. And then just like I mentioned, of course I can't think of the places now, but those are just a few.
I know, when you're on the spot, it's hard. Those are some good options though.
Yeah.
The Gray is probably top of the list.
Yes.
The other one that's in that category is Husk, which Sarah used to work at.
I've been wanting to try that place too. It looks good too.
Sarah and I jokingly butt heads on this, because she worked there, and I think anytime you work at some place, it's like, okay, I've kind of like seen what's behind the curtain.
Right.
But I love Sean Brock. He was the chef that kind of started the restaurant. He elevated Southern food to a totally new level.
Nice.
I think we should just make a different podcast for food.
That would be, yeah, amazing.
Especially for people on the way out. Oh, that's yes. what we'll do. We'll go to a new restaurant with somebody before they graduate, and we'll record from the restaurant.
That would be so awesome.
That's a great idea.
Describe the food.
Yeah.
What you got.
Reviews. That's yeah. the crossover we didn't really know that we needed.
That's true.
All right. So you're going to maximize the restaurants, which I think everybody should do. Mm-hmm. What else to maximize?
Probably
remaining month.
Hit up my favorite coffee shops. So definitely going to Franklin's again
mm-hmm.
and going all out at Origin.
Nice.
So
you've
good.
Been to the new location, right? Mm-hmm. It's awesome. They yes. did a great job.
They did an amazing job. I would say, yeah, hitting up all the coffee shops again, probably going to Forsyth, going to Collins Quarter.
Yeah.
Of course, you can't yeah. miss Collins Quarter.
The original one or the park one?
The park one.
Same.
Yeah.
The park one.
The park one. And honestly, just kind of like going to like my favorite stores again, probably, and just walking around and just like walking around Savannah one more time. And then that, you know, even on the Liberty side, going Broughton, River Street, probably doing the farmer's market,
oh, man.
Doing a last hit up.
You're speaking all of my language
mm-hmm.
now. That's so good.
Yeah.
That's like, you just described sort of an ideal weekend in Savannah, I think.
Mm-hmm. That is true. Yeah.
But the good news is Atlanta's not that far.
Yeah. Yeah, not too far, which is good.
Man, nice. Okay, my last question for you. Thinking back on your time here, what is something that you would want, like, a younger student to know? Or maybe, like, younger Olivia to have known freshman, sophomore year?
I would say that, like, you know, things are going to be changing, but it's all going to be good. Don't be freaked out by it because... You know, if you met me then, I was like, I think I told you, I was like super shy, like in high school and everything. And like, I would, yeah, I was like the shy girl of my school.
That is so hard to imagine.
Yeah. And I like hate it, like driving long distances. I hate it, like publicly speaking. I hate it. Like, I never thought I would be like a leader or like of any sort, actually, or just like, just, you know, kind of like leading people or doing, you know, like announcements or anything like that. I was like, I'm never going to be on like one of the, a board or anything for anything, you know? And then it's like, just here I am today with all that stuff. And I think that's really cool and awesome. And also like what, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But I think I would just tell myself like, all right, things are going to happen. Don't freak out. You'll be okay, and like things get better as you go on.
That's a good word.
Yeah.
Sarah and I were talking last night after midweek. Every year there's always people where we find ourselves thinking, what are we going to do when this person graduates? Because they have carried such a big weight of something within RUF, mm-hmm. and it feels like there's going to be such an absence there. And I've heard you mention that before, like you were kind of the shy one. And every time I forget that you've said that because it's just so hard to believe.
Yeah.
But you are definitely one of those people where we're like, what are we going to do when Olivia graduates? Because you have been like the welcoming face for so many people with name tags and the welcome and just like the friendliness that is so integral to having just the type of welcoming community that we want. So we're going to miss your presence in RUF, and we're going to miss you and your friendship. We're excited about what's next for you, and we kind of keep those things in tension. But we're really grateful to have had you around, and we're going to miss you.
Yeah.
So we'll get a little bit sentimental here at the end. But Olivia, thanks for being on the podcast, and until next time.